But he does provide one of those great texts of the scriptures. A great summary statement that would satisfy, if rightly understood, every question. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to God savingly except through him, and thus eternally. We come to God through Christ, and we go to heaven for the sake of Christ. And I want to just take a few minutes to go through these three in turn. First, he is the way. Christ is the only way to God, and thus the only way to heaven. Every other path is false. Every other way ultimately leads only to death. There's, in fact, as Jesus told us elsewhere in Matthew 7, there's really only two options. There's the narrow way that leads to life and the broad way that leads to death. Christ is the only way to know, honor, love, and serve God. He's the only way, i.e. path, that leads to God. Now, this implies that man by nature is lost and knows not the way. I don't think that's what the disciples meant. They obviously, at this point, were already converted, albeit they were rather ignorant. They would know more when the Holy Spirit came. They knew the way to get right with God. They knew that it was through him and was because of him. But man by nature doesn't know the way. He's lost. He's, as it were, in a wilderness. It implies that the way to God outside of Christ is barred. Or, as he puts it at the end of the text, there's no way to the Father except him. Now, let me take you back to a text that will serve, clarification of all that I'm going to say this afternoon, and that's Genesis 3. And notice 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword, which turned every way, to guard the way to the tree of life. I don't think that it's without reason that our Savior speaks of himself as the way, the truth, and the life. The way to God is barred. There's no way to God without someone dealing with the flaming sword. That's justice. We could put it like this. Justice, because of our sin, bars us from acceptance with God. And so, for us to be able to have life, partake of the tree of life, or to return to God through this way, there has to be someone who deals with the sin issue and the justice issue. And who can that be? Well, it can only be the God-man. He has to be a man because it was man who sinned. And because man sinned, man must die. This is the tenor, the arrangement of the covenant God made with Adam and us in Adam. A man has to die for us. But this man has to be, secondly, innocent. He can't be no guilty man. He has to be innocent of his own crimes, because if he had his own sins, then he would have to die for his sins. So he has to be a sinless man, but we need more than a sinless man to atone for our sins, because who can satisfy the justice of God but God? And God cannot die because he's spirit. And thus God would have to come to earth in the form of a man, a sinless man, and bear the sins of the world. And thus we read in that great prophecy of Zechariah, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who's my companion, says the Lord." So here's a man who's his companion, his equal, his fellow, is the God-man. "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I'll turn my hand against the little ones." Now that's quoted by Jesus in Matthew and applied to himself. So there's this sword made reference to here in Genesis that strikes the shepherd, and the sheep are delivered. In other words, he deals with our sins and the justice of God. He makes a way back to the Father. Or, again, to use the imagery of Genesis, to the tree of life. He's the way. Secondly, he's the truth. He's not only the way, but also the truth. That is, all the truth about God, man, salvation, and eternity is found, yea, experienced in him. He's come into this world as God's final prophet to show and to tell the truth about God and the way he secured. But you might ask, didn't all the other prophets tell us basically the same thing? Yes, they all told us about the truth. But he himself is the truth. They told us about him. He's the truth about God's Old Testament promises of salvation and acceptance. Thus, it was always a fact that man only knew truth as foretold and promised in the Messiah. From eternity past, the Father decreed to reveal himself and his redemption in and through the God-man. Thus, there's truth. There's objective truth, which implies a lie. We're not left to ourselves to grope about in darkness to determine what is and isn't truth. God has determined what is truth. He's deposited it in his Son. There we learn about the truth of, about God, about man, about morality, about salvation, about eternity. And yet the problem is that man by nature doesn't accept the truth. In fact, we read in Romans 1, man exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And I think that goes back to Genesis 2, doesn't it? In terms of our first parents and the father of lies. But what does Paul mean here when he speaks about a lie? Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie? Well, the lie of atheism. That is the lie that man is the mere result of evolutionary processes and is no better than a glorified ape. I was talking to somebody on vacation about this. He believes in evolution. And I said, you believe that we evolved from apes? And he thought about it and he said, you know, that part is kind of hard to believe, isn't it? I said, it is very hard to believe. It's easier as we have evidence all around us. It harmonizes with science and all the facts that were made by God. And this is why there's no regard for life. I mean, think about it like this. We speak about abortion as being a disregard for life, and it is that. I mean, who cares if we're just the process of evolutionary matter being evolved from one state to another, then who cares about the baby in the belly? But if you understand that the baby is created by God in the womb of its mother in the image of God, well, then that's something altogether different. Or else I was watching, I couldn't sleep a few days ago and was watching a documentary about our prison system. And this particular documentary was interviewing 10 men on death row in a state prison in Indiana. And the interviewer was a fool. Sweet, but a foolish man. Well, because they haven't used the death penalty in Indiana for 8 years. And here's why. Because the people who make the ingredients that they use to inject the criminal with refuses to donate them or to sell them to the prison. They're obviously anti-death penalty. Well, this guy that's interviewing all these murderers who should have been put to death decades ago says he too thinks it's horrid that we still have this on the table as an option. And he's speaking to one of the high up officers. I think it was the warden even. I think it was the warden or the one beneath him about this matter. And the warden, too, was basically siding with him. Well, at present, there's still some people who believe this is an option. I think, though, eventually it's all going to be removed and most states will outlaw it, the death penalty. Well, here's why these foolish people say that. Because they have no regard for life. Because the Bible says, because man is made in God's image, if somebody unjustly takes that life, their life should be taken. The fact that we don't execute, kill murderers is an evidence that we do not cherish life, and the fact that we take them in the womb is also an evidence. It's all the lie of atheism. Pantheism. Pantheism is the belief that equates God with the created and oftentimes the created universe, as if the universe is God. And you know that Paul says that after he said the former statement in verse 25, he goes on to say, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And then he says, and worship and serve created things rather than the creator. So they worship the created as opposed to the creator. That's a lie. The lie of universalism. This means the belief that teaches every religion ends in heaven. We see this all the time, don't we, on Fox News and all the conservative outlets. Well, you probably see it even worse in the liberal ones, but in the better of them, you see it. Religion, we believe we're conservative. We believe religion has a place, but you can basically form or shape your religion any old way you want to. Could you imagine if somebody just stood up and said, there's only one way, there's only one truth, and his name is Jesus, the God-man Savior. Moralism. This, of course, means that morality in itself is the way to heaven. Just keep trying. Just do better. Well, these are four of many lies, but the bottom line is they're all in opposition to the truth, who's Jesus. The incarnate Son of God, crucified, resurrected, and glorified on behalf of sinners. Thirdly, he's the life. He's the source of all life as God. But here he's the mediator, and so it's speaking about spiritual and eternal life. He obviously is also the source of physical life. But here it's particularly referring to first spiritual life, and then secondly eternal life. Again, think back to Genesis 3. He guarded the way to the tree of life. I think a lot of people are confused as to what true life is. What is spiritual life? I saw a debate the other day for a little bit. I couldn't take it. It was one of my friends debating somebody who was Arminian. And so the question was, is Calvinism biblical? Well, they both were dispensationalists. And they settled that on the front end. You're a dispensationalist, I'm a dispensationalist, I'm Calvinistic, you're Arminian. So the question became, what does it mean when it says that man is by nature dead? And the Arminian said, well, if we go to the Old Testament, we find people choosing life apart from regeneration. He said, because Old Testament saints didn't have the Spirit and were not regenerate. There's no text in the Old Testament that says they were regenerated by the Spirit. So how? They must choose by their own free will. They don't have the Spirit. That was his argument. I said, I got better things to do. I couldn't take it.
I think I was like 7-8 minutes in. Brother, really? That's where that system leads you. The Old Testament saint saved in a different way. He's not regenerated. Is he? Death means separation. When we die physically, our souls and bodies are separated. That's death, physical. When we fell in Adam, we're separated from fellowship with God. That's what it means. And that's symbolized in the fact that Adam was banished from the garden. He was separated. He's now dead. We're all born spiritually dead. It doesn't mean we're rocks, trees, birds, or bees. We're still made in God's image with rational faculties. We're just separated from God. We don't have any life, spiritual life in us. And this spiritual life is to be found in Christ. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not the life. And life eternal. If true spiritual life is union and communion with God, then eternal life is this or these realities perfectly and eternally experienced. And this is eternal life, Jesus said, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. And thus, the proverb says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. As I said, the broad way leads to death, and the narrow and at times difficult way leads to life. So we have life now, and we have the promise of that life in hand, and we'll have it in full in heaven. All right, now let me summarize. Number one, Jesus is the way, truth, and life exclusively. That is, he's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And that's why you have the articles, the definite articles. I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. I'm not a way, a truth, and a life. I am. I'm God. I'm Jehovah. I am. I'm the very same one that manifested himself to Moses in Genesis 3. I am that which I am. And now in my incarnate state, as the Christ, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Exclusively. Personally, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Again, as we saw in our Sunday school class, these aren't doctrines or benefits separated from Christ himself. I, as a divine person, incarnate on earth, the God-man, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And thus we have to come to him. We have to come to him as the way to find the truth and have life. Calvin, in his commentary on this text, sees some type of progression there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not just truth about me, not just doctrines concerning me, but me. Of his own doing, he, God, has made him, Christ, unto us, wisdom from God. Righteousness, sanctification, redemption. All of it's in him. Presently, he's now at the present moment as he was speaking, and now as he's reigning in heaven, there's a glorified bodily Christ in heaven who at present is the way, the truth, and the life. He was always and only the way, the truth, and the life, and he will ever and always be so. Ongoingly, he's the way, the truth, and the life for Christians as well. He's the way, the truth, the life. You don't need him initially to get to the Father and then
We somehow no longer need him as the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life for sinners, and he's the way, the truth, and the life for Christians. In fact, I can't remember if I brought this. Let me see. There's a book. This is a different John Brown. This is the Puritan John Brown. The other one was 18th century that I quoted from in Sunday school. This one's a 17th century Scottish Puritan. And it's entitled Christ, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. It's an exposition of our text. And he shows how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life with respect to everything we need. He's the way, truth, and the life with regards to our, this is basically how he puts it. He's the way, truth, and life with respect to our justification, sanctification, glorification. I think those are the actual headings. Boy, I tell you, this is premium. And no, you can't borrow it. No, of course you can't. It's reprinted too, so you can get it from Beaky relatively cheap. It's worth its weight in pure, rare gems, rubies, and diamonds. And as I've said, he's the way, truth, and the life eternally. He'll always remain for us forever. As I said, he talked about how Jesus is that with reference to justification, sanctification, and glorification. For all eternity, Jesus the Christ will be the way, the truth, and the life. Well, we'll leave it at that. So as the men come forward to administer the bread, Greg will lead us in our first hymn.